If you go to the WarOnTheHorizon.com website, and you know you need to go there, you can see the fantastic work that they've done for War on the Horizon to help us get our message out to our people. Brothers and sisters, this is an outstanding organization. They do great work and great customer responsiveness, and it's somewhere you want to go. If you're interested in advertising your website, cards, flyers, banners, and all of your advertising needs. At War on the Horizon, you know we wouldn't steer you wrong. So again, that's www.starvingartist.net. Give them a chance, check them out, get your word out there, and continue to tune in to War on the Horizon. War on the Horizon. You gotta love it.
Hey, what's up, brother?
A BB for Hodie.
A BB for Hodie? What's that?
It's African liberation, brother.
Oh, you got that knowledge, brother?
Knowledge, brother? Do you want the knowledge?
Every brother looking for some knowledge.
Look, if you're looking for the knowledge, let me tell you what the knowledge is. Just go to www.warontheHorizon.com. Click on the store link. They have DVDs on religion, black freedom fighters, the homosexual war against the black race, black male-female relationships, the dangers of interracial mixing with whites, sexual abuse in the black community. Then they have the DVD lecture series on racism, white supremacy, the history of white on black genocide, and the powerful impact of the entertainment industry on the black race.
That sounds serious.
It's definitely serious, brother.
I hear what you're saying, brother, but sometimes I don't have a week to wait for something to come in the mail, you know what I'm saying?
Not a problem at all, brother. All the DVDs are available for electronic download, which you can get same day delivery for $15 each.
Hey, man, I know it's only $15 and everything, but the economy kind of rough, and, you know, brother's pocket's kind of tight, too.
Look, brother, that's not a problem at all. For $1 to $2 a piece, you can order any radio program available on the site.
Man, so look, y'all got any sisters down with this thing?
War on the Horizon? Sisters? Of course. War on the Horizon also features Children of Southampton products. They have the 2009 and 2010 Nat Turner Day weekend celebration. 1831 Turner Street featuring them Memphis boys, Brothers Keeper.
Okay.
Have you ever heard Sister Nefertari lecture?
Nah, I haven't.
You gotta check out that 500 years of dark skin versus light skin.
Look, man, this stuff sounds kind of serious. They're not preaching hate on it.
Yes? Huh? You hate being oppressed, don't you?
Whoa. Brothers and sisters, we'll see you on the battlefield. War on the Horizon. Gotta look!
This content may not be suitable for yours, Negroes, and homos.
The devil ain't got horns, he got buttermilk skin. It's time to make this cracker pay the penalty of sin. Lynched and hung for the color of my skin. Pay back like that, let's begin like this. Hey.
Oh, here we go again, man. Two gay dudes kissing on the bus. That's what I'm talking about. Why you gotta be the man? They trying to turn everybody gay. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Nah, brother, I really don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying, you see the bus. You see how they got the two dudes kissing on the joint. It's like commercials. Everywhere you go, everything gay. Youngest walking around with these little, the faggy fit jeans and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Well, brother, do you have hate in your heart?
What?
Yeah, that's not the Christianly thing to do. We should love our neighbors.
Man, I ain't loving no gay neighbors, Joe. It ain't say you gotta love your gay neighbors. It don't say love your neighbors. It don't say... I ain't talking about neighbors. I'm talking about faggies. So you saying you love faggies?
What I'm saying is, love is the most powerful force in the universe. And Jesus came to show us how we should love our brothers.
Man, you sounding real gay right now, talking about loving some brothers. Hold up, Joe, look, nah, look, if you want to tell me something, just let me know. I might be preaching to the choir, man. I'm saying, the faggies, you talking about loving, you know what, man? Forget this, man. I'm going to walk. Peace.
Brothers and sisters, sometimes your arms is not long enough to box with spooky in the sky. Spend your time where it's most useful. This is the African service announcement. War on the Horizon. We'll see you on the battlefield. War on the Horizon. You gotta love it.
Hey, brother, did you try that new restaurant down the street?
Yeah, I went there yesterday. Man, the food was off the chain. And the chicken was like, how they be saying it? Like, to die for.
Whoa.
To die for?
To die for, brother?
I'm saying, I mean, the chicken was good. You know what I'm saying?
Can't you just say the chicken was good? Does it have to be to die for? That sounds a little effeminate.
Did you wear skinny jeans while you were eating the chicken?
Nah, I'm saying, I would say it was good, man.
Was it rainbow chicken?
Hold up, man. I just wear the chicken was good.
Milk with a sparkly buckle on it while you
was the server doing a sizzy bounce?
Man, I'm just saying, the chicken was good. Look, man, the chicken was good, no homo.
Time has passed for no homo.
You're supposed to say it before, bro.
It's like a disclaimer.
I can't say, I just said no homo, though. There's no regulation on when you can say no homo. What are y'all, like a regulatory governing body over no homo or something?
Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up. Don't let the homosexual poltergeist pull you in. We are the final front in the war against white sex. Stand strong. This African service announcement has been brought to you by Warner Horizon Radio.
Warner Horizon. You gotta love it.
No homo.
It's time to galvanize. Got to come together. If I lost every limb in this war I'm in, would you round them up and piece me back together again? Say a prayer over me as my soul ascends. Ask God to forgive me for my sins. Sort of like a czar in a set, who ruled back in Egypt. Would I return as a mythical leader? Would the rebels die with me in the name of freedom? Trapped in the bowels of this barbaric region. Gotta fight until the children stop killing one another. Cops killing bunches of us, that's enough of us. Men with the single mothers, brothers. Single mothers, let the men raise warriors. Jettison the fear, we will bear casualties of war. If we don't fight, there'll be even more. There'll be dark nights when you might lose a husband, might lose a son. It's a sacrifice for black life.
My ancestors woke me up this morning. They said, son, you do know what time it is, don't you? I said, what time is that? They said it's war time. So welcome to the war front. Brothers and sisters, glad we could be with you on this October 7th, 2013, year of the no good devil. He may be a no good devil, but you real, real good. And we real, real happy to have you with us live, brothers and sisters. I had to step out of the country. I was looking for Ambassador O. He got a song called I Just Got Back from the Motherland. But I can't find it on the chops. You know, when you out of position for a minute, you get a little rusty on the handle. So I was looking for the song, but I couldn't find it. But Black Life always gets it done. My Alpha Saint Kofa. Wanna, you know, just tell brothers and sisters, just got back and got some really, really beautiful things brewing internationally for the fam. So I want to let you know we're real happy about that. Real, real, real glad to be back on air live. We're going to have a fantastic program tonight. So you're going to enjoy it. So go ahead and do your blackberries and your blueberries. All your berries, your emails. Send out your e-blast. Put it on Facebook because, you know, they don't let me on Facebook. Zuckerberg, Hatberg. Hatburg and the boys, they don't let, you know, the Hat boys, they got it out. Them Hardy boys and them Hat boys got it out for the irritated. So I just found out today, got a message that the situation at the job situation is much deeper than I thought. I didn't realize this thing is coming down from the top. They just been slowly inching in on the brother for a minute. Didn't know that. Kind of knew, you know. But I thought it was just kind of, you know, isolated, but it's a lot bigger than I thought. But it don't matter. Ain't nothing but say Warner Horizon anyway. So if you're going to fight, you got to fight. So we glad to have you here tonight. We're going to have a heck of a program. So you really want to get people to tune in. Want to say a special shout out to some folks and we're going to get right into our program. Definitely want to thank Brother Bourne up in Connecticut. Got an email. And haven't got him with the brother. We just, you know, been kind of busy, so we haven't got him his stuff yet. But we was able to see the brothers petitioning to get someplace available for the young people up in Connecticut where the youth can, community center where our people can do something. for the community, represent the issues of the community where the community can meet and try to do for itself. So he out there doing real, true community activism. And that's real serious. The brother right now, he just down for a hot minute. So he not on his wheels now. You know, he not walking at the moment. But it don't matter. He getting around and getting the message to our people, doing some real serious work. And I was real proud to see the brother out there doing it, man. It really inspired me to come back in from outside the country and the land. As soon as I get off, to see a video of a brother out there pounding the pavement, really working for our people, and to know that that brother's part of this listening audience and this team working to help our people was really, really, really motivating and touching to see. So thank all the brothers and sisters on that. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. When this whole situation went down with the devils coming down on the irritated, you know, they started messing with a brother's money, kind of funny. And, you know, sometimes you really don't know. I mean, you do know, but you know, you don't know how much what you're doing means to the people. You just, you know, it's like people call and they give their contributions and they send their emails or whatever. But, you know, you wonder how much people really value the work that's being done and if you're really making any movement. Sometimes you do think about those things. You never say it, but it does cross your mind. But let me tell you, man, right now we $85 short for paying for not, and we already paid for September. All we need is another $85 for the month of October, brothers and sisters. And I'm so proud because we're trying to stay 1 month ahead. We don't want to be always beating the bushes, telling people we need you to send us some money or we're not going to have a program. We don't want to be able to do that. So we $85 away from having it for this month, which means people really gave and they paid for the $400 for September. And you brothers and sisters out there, we really appreciate your love. I just got three checks in the mail today for the radio station that we went ahead and put in there, which is what got us from $170 down to $85. So we $85 away. So all that means is if we can have $85 more of contribution, we will hope we can have that in the next couple of days. If you can do that, we actually got a link on our website now. Just go to our website, warnthehorizon.com. Go to the second page, which is the book page. And go to the bottom and it says contribution, or it says donate. Click the donate button and you can go ahead and donate some money, however much you want. If you could do $85, that would really make us feel good because, boom, we had a month of October paid and anything that comes in over that will start going to November. So it's safe to say we got a program scheduled through October right now, and we really appreciate it. I really realize that this means a lot to a lot of people. Some people have sent in $150. That's a lot, man, for black people to send in, not asking for anything in return. You know, everybody knows, that, I don't know if everybody knows, but a lot of people familiar with the fact that the programs are available for free download right now from the website. So all of our lectures, you can go, I mean, the lectures that we do, all of our lectures we do, you can go to warnthehorizon.com, go to free downloads, and just download them. You know, get them for free. So we don't really have a whole lot to give people in return, but everything that we had to give people is out there anyway for free. Take it, share it, watch it, show it to your friends and family, other black people that need it. We want to really say we really, really appreciate that. And just to show you how strong the support has been, we even had one brother, and for years he's always said, look, if you need anything financial, you know, let us know, I'll help you, and never needed it. But things got a little rough around here, and they're still a little rough. And brother don't have no small mortgage payment. I'm just saying like that. It's kind of hefty. The devil was paying the bills for a while. So brother got a house that I can invite, you know, brothers and sisters from outside the city when they come in town. They can stay here. It's decent, you know. It's something to be happy about. It ain't, you know, ain't no mansion, but it's a nice little spot, you know, for my family. I had to move the family out because, you know, all the pressure that's coming in and the devil's always constantly threatening. But the beautiful thing is, the brother been saying for years, so he called up again and said, hey, look, if you need something, let us know. We said, look, man, irritated, can't make the mortgage this month, man. Can't put a dollar on it. And the brother sent in over two bills, over two strong ones, brothers and sisters, to pay for it. So that's just showing you the kind of love we getting, man. So when people tell you black people don't support nothing that's good, and I ain't gonna lie, a little part of me was wondering, would there be support? I ain't even gonna lie. That ain't what's happening. I can't even tell you how much Lady Shabazz been doing every gazillion type of thing. I can't even count all the things. I'm so now, I don't even know what to say. I'm trying to count them all. There's so many things she been contributing, whether it's money or advice or work or efforts or just stuff. That it's like, all right, fine. You know, brothers and sisters out there, other brothers and sisters in the camp, making sure that the irritators are all right, they're there, so you can find them. They haven't been lost in the action. We done got a lot of your support through emails, a lot of your support through people doing articles online, supporting Irritated, Warning Horizon. Good press is never bad. Just all kind of things people are doing to show love. So it's really, really impressive. And like you say, please continue to support the radio station. I know we're not going to pull on you hard. $400 a month is not a hard pull for all the listenership we have. So we want you to continue to support financially. That's the only way we can stay in business. And like I said, $85 keeps us going through October. And then we're going to have to start going into November. But the earlier, if we can stay 1 month ahead, then that means you'll only hear us asking for money the first or second program each month. Then after that, we done been paid through the month or the next month. We be off that, won't even bring it up. So I hate asking more than anybody hates paying, but I do want to thank the brothers and sisters for your contribution. And I want to let the Warning Horizon listening family know, hey, it ain't true that black people don't support each other. The brothers and sisters have been showing the love and doing the support. So I'm very, very, very proud to say that we're a recipient of a lot of love from African people. And people value what we're doing. They value your calls. They value your contribution. They value the topics that we discuss. Our people value what we do. And that's not small. That's big because let me just tell you. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my trip to Africa. And then we're going to get right onto this program because it's an important topic. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You go to an African continent and you go to any of the quote-unquote sub-Saharan countries, you thinking, because I'm going to tell you, when I used to go to Kemet, I've been 6 times with the master teacher, Astro Kwesi and Sister Mary Rockwesi on Kemet New Know Thyself Tour. And all 6 times, we go into an African nation that's run and controlled by Arabs. And you know that when you get on Egypt Air. Because I say 80 to 90% of the individuals on that flight are a bunch of hot schmucks, you know, a bunch of Arabs. They go into what they consider their country, and it's packed with them. And you know it. You know where you're going. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, you get on a plane leaving America to go to Africa, and you think you're going to a multicultural land of milk and honey. I mean, they got Asiatics. You got the dots on their heads. You got, you got every kind of foreign invader. I feel like I'm at the first cataract, and I'm tapping Brother Narma on the shoulder like, Baba Narma, it's time for us to go to war, because look at all these Asiatics attacking. I mean, it's really bad, brothers and sisters. I mean, it's really, really bad. It's so many invaders, like vultures pointing to the African continent, and you're like, man, where are the brothers and sisters from this country? And we are going to some degree, but it's like our finances is hit. And you wonder why it is that the devil has so much interest on the African continent in our enemies, and we don't have as much. But I think to some degree it's not that. It's those of us who would do something don't have the means. Those of us who had the means don't want to do anything. A bunch of cowards don't want to lose the means to do that, which we should be doing anyway. So, you know, that's one thing to be said. So I will say that the love that's shown here makes us feel good. But I can say the wealth of the world is on the African continent, brothers and sisters. And those of us who understand the time we're in, we better realize it's time for us to have some connections across seas. Because they're going to need us. They need us like, man, they need us like they need water. I ain't talking about us like Negroes from America. I'm talking about, whoa. That's that whoa. That's that W-O-H, that whoa. Matter of fact, I messed up when I started off. I was supposed to say, my ancestors woke me up this morning. They said, you do know what time it is, don't you? I said, what time is that? They said, it's war time, so welcome to the war front. Then I was supposed to say, praise Nat Turner, glory to God. We ain't coming here, so Like I said, I've been gone for a couple of weeks, so I've been a little rusty, brothers and sisters. But I heard last week, I heard 2 weeks in a row, man. We had our brother Rusty Shackelstein. It's the baddest. I call him Supernatural. That brother is the baddest teacher you ever seen in your life. I've been in the classroom with the brother, and that's his alias. But this is a true black man. You ain't never seen nothing like it. Then I heard brother Body Shots came in here drilling bammers in the ribs, hitting them hard to the rib cage with a... I done got so many people calling me up talking about how vicious the program was last week. I'm like, we got to start getting brother Body Shots in here on a regular basis. Because I'm hearing that the program was off. The kind of information he was dropping just had people shook. People still talking about it a week later. Almost insinuating they ain't want me to come back. I don't care what they said. Ain't nobody taking my show. You're not taking my program here. The people said they want us here. The people laying down that loop, baby. So you're not getting this program. Body Shots or not. But heard it was outstanding. So thank you for tuning into that. I really appreciate brothers and sisters being in the place to be. Want to say we got to get to the African continent and begin to invest in the future, because what the European has done, the small hat, they have packaged the formula for cultural destruction that was used against African people here, with the main source of it being hip-hop and musical filth and degeneracy, and the rest of it being things to support this filth and decadence and sordid low-life misbehavior. Feminism, lesbianism, Western miseducation, all of those tools on the TV, you seeing black women in Africa shaking their behinds like a bunch of sick, degenerate whores. You see brothers doing videos, pouring liquor on women. Just a complete degeneration of the culture. You see that it hasn't fully taken root, but that it is tearing the young people in half. I'm watching what happened to us, myself, and others around me in 1988 when NWA came out with Straight Outta Compton. I'm watching what happened to us then happen to our brothers and sisters on the African continent now. And it's extremely disturbing. And at the same time they're doing that, they're pushing this homo filth and degeneracy. And if they had us there on the ground or had a working relationship, they would really fight. Because they don't want this madness that's happening, but they don't exactly understand what they're dealing with and definitely don't know what to do to fight it. So they need us like they need water. But I will tell you this. Everybody who saw our African insurrection music when I was in Africa, everybody that saw it was, when I say blown away, I can't describe to you how they felt. And then they saw My God and My Gun that was on the African continent done. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when they saw that My God and My Gun, and it was done on the African continent, I can't explain to you how excited they got about that. So we about to really blow this thing up and save our race. So I want to let you know that we really got to start looking at ourselves as Pan-African people. We Africans who live in America, maybe born in America, but we Africans. And we got to see the world that way. And it kind of goes to my point of what we're going to talk about tonight. And I know I'm going to offend some folks here, but I don't care. We didn't come here to be the wise friend. We came here to save our race. So we're going to go ahead and talk real tonight, all right? Let me talk real, brothers and sisters. Let me just bring the truth to you. I'm going to say it the real way it is. What we know as Pan-Africanism, the old, you know, what Marcus Garvey was doing and things of that nature, is very relevant in the sense that the concept and the ideas will be relevant until we rule the world. So that's not a question. But the format of Pan-Africanism, the dashiki, somebody getting up in front of people, and I love dashiki. I got a bunch of them, and I like they vicious too. I got them from different places on the African continent, and some that was bought, sold to me here. I don't know where they from, but they vicious. So don't get me twisted. I love it. You know, incense, I love it being burned. The Congo, I got one right there. I should go smack it just so you can hear. I love all the African traditional cultural stuff. I do. But I just want to be clear. The old black power culture, and I'm not saying I don't say black power. We all say it. I say black power all the time. But I'm saying the old traditional means of fighting this battle are traditional and old. Pan-Africanism as something where you stand there in all African dress and repeat some of the statements of the great warrior ancestors of the past, and then say a few things that we need to do, and then say Black Power when it's done, and then go sit down and people start cheering, and then go to the next event or whatever. That is played out, and what we have is, you know, this is going to be a little slightly vulgar when I say it, but what we have is people just farting on the movement, man, getting old. And dragging the movement into olderness, not elderness, but olderness, where it's getting lazy, boring, dry, and nobody who was serious would take it really seriously. Unless you're a Pan-Africanist, unless you're a Pan-African already, there's nothing that would draw a person who's doing well in life to Pan-Africanism. It's old, it's tired, it's boring, it's hard to sit through something that's Pan-African these days. A bunch of people sitting there smirking because they think they smart and got some Pan-African understanding nobody else has, but they ain't saying nothing with no excitement. Don't even halfway have PowerPoint half the time. Completely behind in technological advancement. Don't understand that now we got a new format of educating our people to include audio visual equipment so you can talk to them but then prove what you're saying. They don't even really got, we Pan-Africanism has lost its flair and its revolutionary spirit. Again, it's old, it's tired, it's still relevant intellectually, but this is the problem. I'm going to keep it real. One of the main problems. The Pan-Africanist movement is just full of a bunch of faggots. I'm going to keep it real. Fag and fag lovers. And these days, it's hard to separate from. If you love a fag, well, your heart is fagged out anyway. So even if you ain't no fag, you might as well be one. You ain't a homosexual, you're a promosexual. I mean, you sitting around loving gumps. Well, something ain't right with you. Why would you love a gump, a dude that wants, a male that wants to be with another male sexually? What's wrong with you that you like that, man? Something wrong with you. I'm talking to you. Your son is a fag and you love fags. Something wrong with you. If your son is a fag and it tears you up that this little faggot exists or is into this fagdom, but you still love him because you son, but you can barely look at him, then I understand it. You love your son, but he's a fag, and you hate fags. Okay, but if you actually defending him, well, you a damn fag too. You might as well be one. What the hell is wrong with you, fool? I know that you love somebody. Loving somebody don't mean you support their filthy, degenerate misbehavior. And I ain't gonna lie, that's what Pan-African is full of, a bunch of homosexuals and promosexuals. A bunch of fag and fag lovers, which is why it's so weak, has no edge. It don't have no edge because it's not relevant to the time we're living in. If you ain't anti-fag and you ain't screaming on these faggots and homos, you're not a Pan-Africanist. Because your police brutality is still relevant. They murdering our people. I mean, it's very relevant. And if that's your issue and you on it, then I'm not going to say you'll be yelling on fag, then that might not be your particular issue. But you still, when it come up, you say, oh, yeah, these fags, too many fags out here. You at least got to say that. You can't not see that issue because that is the issue. There's a bunch of other ones. Poverty, miseducation, all these things exist in the same construct with the white sex assault, the pedophilia, and the homosexuality is in the center. So, my point being, if you ain't screaming on this stuff and trying to be involved in regulating it and preventing it from spreading, you irrelevant. I mean, when I say you're irrelevant, you ain't talking about that, you ain't relevant at all. I've talked to some black nationalists, so-called Pan-Africanists, or whatever you want to call it. That's why we call ourselves Haitianists. And but you know, we try to negotiate with them to work and fight this fag thing. They're not gonna do it. They got family that's fags. They support fags. Not that they like fagdom, but they're not willing to take no position against. And it's like, well, what the hell are you calling yourself a Pan-Africanist for? Whole reason you get into Pan-Africanism is to fight for your race. Which means everything you do is going to contradict something that you was doing when you was a Negro. And the Negroes do. And the more Negroes are doing it, the more you have to go against it because the more wrong it is. That's what Pan-Africanism is all about. African, uniting African people for African values and principles of the African future. So the fire thing is an assault. They ain't talking about it. They ain't talking about nothing. But so it ain't just that they not talking about the relevant issues. They don't want to talk about child sexual abuse. Yeah, well, it's something that's been quiet in our communities. Well, goddammit, we know it's been quiet in our community. What kind of shining, bucking, don't we have bigger issues? How the hell you got a bigger issue than somebody raping your children? You ain't no damn Pan-African.
Garvey would throw up if he saw these Negroes out here calling themselves Pan-Africans. And the ones who were in it for a long time and have not adjusted to the new battlefield, I'm not as much talking about them. Even though they've grown old on the battlefield, they still fighting. So I'm not really criticizing the elders who've been doing this since the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I'm not saying that. I'm proud that they still out here fighting. What I am saying is their style of fight is played out. But it's not that they should stop fighting like that because they doing what they know. It's that it don't have no attraction to young people. I wouldn't be attracted to this so-called, I ain't gonna lie. The only thing that would be attractive to me right now is War on the Horizon. And I'm not saying that to be self-serving. I'm just saying what it is. Ain't nobody out there attractive like that. And attractive from multiple perspectives. Let me just keep it real. You want a nice presentation, man. When you come out, you want to see people dress nicely. People don't want to dress, you don't want to uniform up no more. Everybody wants to just be just a everyday brother or sister walking down the street. How the hell are you going to lead somebody looking like an everyday person? You lost your goddamn mind. You ain't never seen nobody lead nothing like that. You never seen nobody of relevance lead nothing looking like no walking the mill, walking down the street, every person. You always got to have a uniform for success in warfare. Imagine a soldier walking around in a pair of shorts and a tank top. And he really on the battlefield. He wouldn't do that. He'd do that on downtime. We ain't got no downtime. When we out there in public or we out there addressing our people, we supposed to be the sharpest thing you ever seen on multitude of levels, but we got to be uniformed up for success. Everybody that's been success look like success. We got a hip-hop Negro style now, walking around looking like a bunch of nobodies wanting to be somebody. So it's like everything is not a child. War on the Horizon, you come to War on the Horizon, ain't like that. Everybody got the best African, this, that, and the other. If it ain't African, it's always styled up. If we dressed in jeans, then we got the shirts to all be matching. Nice imagery. You go to the website, man, it's good quality work. A quality businessman would go to the website and say, man, I wonder if they do business websites as well. The website today is your introduction to the people, who and what you are. That's how business is done these days, through the web. Your web page is supposed to be the representation of who and what you are. If it's not sophisticated and nice and clean, it ain't don't exist. Ain't no excuse these days. Or you talk about music, culture. You know, during the 60s and 70s, man, you had Gil Scott-Heron. You knew what the people were fighting for. You could listen to the music and it moved you. Who got their own music these days? Bunch of Negroes trying to get some rappers to cuss and call them the N-word. In between an N-word and a MF-er, they might say something positive and then people come around, man, did you hear that song? It's some good conscious rap. I mean, it's got a few words in it, but if you get past that, why the hell you got to get past something in music? Your children supposed to sit down and listen to the music and get inspired to want to fight and kill the devil. But they can't get past a few MFers and N-words. And you irresponsible for letting them listen to that filth any daggone way. Yet that's supposed to be music for revolution? Hell no. I'm using a little bit more profanity than I normally do, so let me stop. Heck no. No way, man. Hell no. Come on, brothers and sisters. What, I mean, this is ridiculous. We done got so trapped in hip-hop degeneracy that we don't have the basic foundation to realize decency is part of African culture. Now, when brothers leave the battle or leave the front line, they go off to themselves. Yeah, we cuss like sailors and we talk about things we wouldn't talk about around our family and children and stuff like that, but we do it in the right place at the right time. When we hit our people, we come with our best presentation. Women dressing like a bunch of whores calling themselves Pan-Africanists with the aunt draped down in between their showing breastuses. Now, do I like black women breastuses? I think that they're beautiful. Why, I mean, they're tantalizing, I would even say. But I shouldn't see them unless it's my woman. I mean, you don't want me to look sexy. Sexy. No, I don't want you to look like you're a piece of damn meat. Like you're a piece of sexual meat. Now, I don't want you to look like that. Not only because you're a black woman and I don't think you should present yourself like that, but you're not a real good example of Pan-Africanism. What man would have a young daughter and want to take him somewhere seeing a bunch of whores or a bunch of women that want to be whores or look like whores or look like they want to see what piece of meat they can take home with them that night, dressing like a bunch of freaks, talking about it's okay to be sexy and pan-Africanist. Man, shut up. Bunch of whores running around this movement. Got faggots, dykes, whores. Then you got Negroes. Can't stop cussing. I mean, MF or what? N-word this. Who in their right mind would want to take their child to see somebody cuss? You can go outside of your neighborhood and take your child in. Just sit down and let them listen to people in the neighborhood. And some of them brothers and sisters in the neighborhood have started get you a drunk from the neighborhood that was halfway fighting in the 60s or 70s, and they'll start talking about stuff that you didn't even know. You said they'll inform you about some stuff. You know, but they're going to cuss and drink liquor and smoke dope, but then they're going to talk Pan-African. What kind of fool are you to think that anybody should follow that? What kind of fool am I to think that somebody's supposed to follow N-word? Ends need to do. Well, if you want to call your people that, you're doing the work of the Klan. Why would you call yourself a Pan-Africanist? Be a Pan-Cracker. You're a Pan-Crackerist. You're doing the same thing the crackers do. This movement is not attractive, is my point. And I'm not even exactly, look, you know me. I like to big people up. It's a few people out there that are attracted to listen to do a lecture. Brother Umar, definitely attracted to him listen to speak. He's a very good speaker. I can't really think of a whole lot of other people. Bottom line, this thing's not attractive. If they're not talking about spaceships, if they're not defending crackers, saying the cracker ain't the devil, then they talking some weird... I understand the base of the reality of the fact, you know, this is a corporation, the U.S., this, that, and other. Yeah, but how you gonna fight them? Well, see, you divest from the corporation, and then, man, you know, divest. You better figure out how you gonna load up that clip, and figure out where you gonna point it at. Ain't no talking your way out of it with these peckerwoods. I mean, they got a bunch of old weirdos talking about aliens and reptilians, and see, you got these weird conspiracy buff dudes, man. I mean, everything is yes. You gotta understand the Illuminati. See, the Illuminati, the Illuminati, see, it's the Nutty Buddy Illuminati, see, that's what it, man, shut up. It's them small hats. They control the Illuminati, they control the One World Government, New World Order. All you talking about is small hats, and we talk about small hats. Just keep it real for the people so they can understand. Bunch of whites who call themselves Jews, they violent, they rich, and they hate black people. And they control entertainment, and they control the message that go in people's minds, so they got everybody off base. Why they snatch up the whole world and cause warfare and famine and death, disease, bloodshed, and genocide throughout the world. Say it so somebody can understand. Then show it to them. Then make it palatable for them to have bite-sized portions to know they can do something. Ain't nobody out there attractive. There is no Pan-Africanism. You just got a bunch of the older people that fought got older, but they didn't have young people to pass it on to keep it exciting and keep the continuity. And when they see War on the Horizon, they don't want to support. Why? Half of them fags. The ones that ain't fags, fag-friendly, they got fags in their family, so they don't want to have nothing to do with the new Pan-Africanism. I'm saying it real. I'm going to keep it real. If you want to know what Pan-Africanism looks like in the 21st century, it's War on the Horizon. I don't have nothing else that I can tell you right now that's an example of Pan-Africanism. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Ain't nobody else really that relevant. I don't want it to be that way. It's not like I'm hating or like I'm aggrandizing who we are and what we do. I'm telling you, you can look around and start paying attention. Are they individuals? They're innumerable individuals. Like, for instance, my point being, like, you have what, let's say that AcobaHouse.com was not affiliated with War on the Horizon. So Brother Baruti is doing what he's doing. There's no way I can say that that's not the new 21st century Pan-Africanism. Or like Baba, Master Teacher, what they doing. Sure, that's Pan-Africanism, and it's modernized, and it's relevant to what we're doing. But those are individuals. I'm talking about, and they're institutions in their own right, but I'm talking about an organized group of folks more than the central individual that are working together to do something. What I'm saying is, all those individuals I'm naming anyway, we affiliated with. I'm saying outside of this circle, the One Horizon and our affiliates and friends and affiliates. I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying. People are excited and they want to do something, and there's small groups that are organizing and teaching people. But the reality of it is, if they got the militancy, then they Muslim. So they attached to the Arab umbilical cord. So we got some hard brothers and sisters out there, but you'll never really get them to be true Pan-Africanists in the sense of the word. And Haitianists, because they ultimately, at the end of the day, they got a tie to the Arab enslaver. Their spiritual enslaver called the Arab. Then you got some strong ones against homosexuality, but then they Christians. Well, you know, a Christian, at the end of the day, they love that faggot peckerwood named Jesus. So, you know, they, and I know some people say, oh my God, how could you say that? Look at the picture on the wall. Stop playing. And I don't care if it's the white one or the black one. You tell me that you would let that Bama take that Bama you call Jesus, the white one or the black one, with the little crown thing on his head. I think a dude walking around with a crown look kind of gay to me, Joe. Ain't a queen supposed to have a crown? This Bama got a crown with swirly thorns in it, walking around bare-chested, blood dripping down his chest. Don't even think to wipe his chest. Oh, he got a long dress. Bama hand bent, all bent up, wrist bent up, long hair, fried, dyed, laid to the side. I'm saying the black one and the white, that's a gay Bama. I would not let my son or daughter spend 20 minutes with that dude. Only Amen can walk away with my child. You go look at the picture of Amen online. Put in Amen Rock. Put in Amen, the black god, and look and see that face, that profile, and those pyramids in the background. You say, yeah, I leave my child with this man because when I come back, my son going to be a soldier. My daughter going to have some decency and self-respect. She going to know her own knowledge of self. You would not leave your child. You a lying fool. I'm telling all of the Christians that sneak in the ear, your earway, listening into this program tonight. I don't care what you say. You mad right now, but you got that picture of that lily white faggot Jesus up on the wall right now. You like, I'm offended. This is hostile. He shouldn't be talking like this, even if he has his opinion. But deep down in the remnants of your African mind, you looking at that little faggot and you going, you know, I would not let, this Bama came knocking on my door and said, hello. He should open the door and say, I want to take your child across to the mall over here. You'd be like, dude, if you don't get out of here right now, you little fag, you be ready to put a pistol on this Bama. You know he's a fag. Look at him. You can't even do nothing. You can't even fight the irritated because he's a fag. I didn't make him a fag. He was a fag when he was painting the picture. Matter of fact, Michelangelo painted his gay uncle from jail. That's a fact. So the dude really was a fag. I mean, it's not like I'm making him up to be a fag. He's a fag. And then the original Serapis, which is Ptolemy, all of the Greeks was fags, and they acknowledged it, and they was... They believe that males should have sex with little adolescent males. Grown men with little boys was their sexual way. And they acknowledge culture. So the Greek, you know, all of the Greeks was fags and they talked about it. You know, Plato said, pederasty alone, which is a grown man having sex with a little boy, that alone is capable of satisfying a man's highest and noblest aspiration. And the love between man and woman was spoken of at all as altogether inferior as a purely physical impulse whose sole object is the procreation of life. So you got this faggot on the wall who comes from the Serapis, the Greeks who said all they like is messing with the little souls of little boys and they backsize, passed down to the Jesus Christ that we look at today that is nothing but a switching fag. That if you ever seen a fag, he's a fag. And so now you got to wonder why people, no wonder our women so in love with these gumps. They go to church every Sunday and look at the fag and you tell them to bow down to this fag. And they love fags. Now if you're a man and you got an opinion, your women don't even want to talk to you no more. And then we mad at our women. Yeah, we the preachers and they're teaching them to love faggy Jesus. And we all messed up. And guess what? There's nobody to articulate it today. No, that you know, we lost our black power general, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Man, we miss our brother. Because he was the last vestige of what Pan-Africanism and strength and what it was supposed to look like. And we could galvanize around that brother. Who we got now like that? And I'm just being honest with you. The closest thing we have is War on the Horizon. Pan-Africanism. In 21st century. You know, before you did your libations and you poured your libations and you called on your ancestors. We are not saying that we should not do that. Even though we don't do it exactly like that. But look, let's keep it real. We're talking 21st century. Whenever you put one of our newer DVDs in, as soon as you put it in and we come up, what do you see, brothers and sisters? You see a backdrop with all the ancestors. What is that? That's a visual libation. A libation that lasts the entire message, because the whole time you're hearing the message, in the backdrop, you see your ancestors that fought for your liberation and your spiritual resurrection, for the re-energizing of your sonum bonum, for your supreme good to rise, and for your Osirian spirit to resurrect and come alive. Your ancestors with you the whole entire time. Come on, talk to me. That's a libation. People say, yeah, well, you know, I hear y'all political message, but I just don't see your spirituality. Because you ain't spiritual. If you were spiritual, the minute you saw your ancestors up there that fought the battle, and you see some of the brothers and sisters fighting the battle with you today, and you see them all together, you realize that that is a mirror. That collage is your ancestral connection to yesterday and tomorrow. Soon as you see that, you see your spirituality, unless you are caught in a time warp and you don't even know what spirituality is. Anytime you see somebody fighting the relevant things that are going on and nobody else will fight, that's where you see spirituality. Because spirituality means you're not afraid of what's going to happen to you, because you really do believe in God. When you're a coward and you tap dancing around what's going on, you're the one that don't see spirituality, because your eyes are not open to it, because you ain't got the heart or the character to see spirituality. A warrior who fights for their race and demonstrates any form of discipline on some level and maturity, that is spirituality. Because the reason they can be a warrior in time when nobody else will fight is because they have uncompromising courage and belief in their ancestors and Amun. They believe in the black God and they believe in their race, and they know that their people, no matter how much they are down, are going to eventually get up and fight with them. So they just plow through the field and keep fighting. See, that's spirituality. Why is it that Negroes out there ask what spirituality is? Because if they're not on their knees calling the name of God by one of their enemies, or if they're not ignoring the rape and the pedophilia and the racism and the brutality that's raging on African people by burning some incense and doing an African dance and calling some ancestral spiritual names of deities, and then going home and culturally nationalizing themselves, smiling and grinning like racism ain't gone. Yeah, I know another form of Christianity. Yeah, they not doing that. That's why they don't see spirituality, because they really into escapism. It's a fancy form of Christianity. I've seen this stuff. Now, some of these priesthoods and stuff are really African, like, but I'm going to be real. If you ain't got no prayer asking Amun or whatever African deity you pray to help you kill your enemies, you ain't spiritual. Our enemies are killing us. They crushing us. And you ain't praying for no dead enemies. Well, then what is a prayer? What is a prayer without a dead cracker in it in 2013? You damn right we pray for dead crackers. We pray that those that come against us die. We don't pray for their hearts that they would come around. We pray for them to die. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go ahead and do the physical process to help them get there. I'm just saying, if we're going to waste time getting on our knees, asking God to do for something that we can do for ourselves, at least we're going to ask for something worthwhile, like a dead cracker or two. How you going to be spiritual and everything you ask for is positive, and you don't want no dead enemies when the enemies are killing your race? You ain't spiritual. You ain't attractive. Why you think these young brothers and sisters not attracted to nothing? They would be attracted to us. Our problem is getting to them and reaching them. Because the guard dogs that we call parents, that's right, I call them guard dogs. You know how in front of the house, you got them dogs and they bark before you. We trying to save our race. You got them guard dog, Negro, Christian, Muslim, or just Negro parents that just don't want their child to get a real penetrating truth, because then it means their child is going to walk with that truth. And if their child says or does anything in school, which they're going to do, then they have to defend their child. And they are cowards. They're not going to defend their child. And they don't really care about their child's future. They just want to live the last 30 or 40 years they got and die without doing nothing. And they want to be safe. So they don't want their children to have too much information, because it's going to force them to have to defend those children. And they're not willing to do it. You're not attractive. You're not courageous. I'm not talking about the people on this line, but y'all hear what I'm saying. Pan-Africanism is dead except on the horizon. I'm just being real. And am I saying that there's zero? No, there are Pan-Africanist groups out there working. Don't get me wrong. There are people out there that's doing some work. But I'm saying keeping it real and keeping it official. War on the horizon is 21st century Pan-Africanism. If it ain't no hate in it, it ain't worth nothing. I'm just keeping it real. Even if the hate ain't on the surface, you can have an economic group talking about let us work together. But if they don't slide in, because we got to realize these white folks ain't going to do nothing for us. You say, okay, yeah. The hatred is there. They doing it a little different. You know, the hatred is under the scenes. But the hatred is for the enemy is there. They just got a approach they using because it's about money. And when you talking money, you know, it's a certain kind of way you talk to people. Certain type of presentation you have for people to take you seriously, for it to be attractive. What I'm saying is, War on the Horizon is attractive. I'm gonna be real. I'm a stand on the flag. I'm a rep the flag tonight. I know it's attractive. I'm gonna tell you why. It has really shocked me once they put my stuff on CNN. They put the irritated on CNN. Like I tell you, now every one of these crackers you can think of, O'Reilly and all these crackers, been begging to get an interview and everything. Like it's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm not saying we absolutely not gonna do it because. People have been beating up on me saying, you know, they saying, brother, you doing it wrong. You said it's War on the Horizon. When you get the opportunity to step to these crackers, you're supposed to step to them. I don't agree with that approach, but I've had a lot of people getting in my ear on that one, so I got to weigh it, you know what I'm saying? But I'll say this. I expected fully all of the black people with jobs and well-to-do black people to be totally hostile and against me. I expected the guard dogs to be out there, right now, raking me over the coals. And I'm going to tell you what's real interesting. I have had more support from black people that got good jobs and got money in terms of verbal support. I mean, it's some real serious stuff. It shocked me. And I'm out there, and they, you know, these crackers pick the most violentest, worstest clips that you can imagine. I know worstest is not a word. But I'm black and I'm from the inner city, so sometimes I use language that way. But, I mean, they picked the one where I'm talking about, what'd I say? You know, we got to put a foot in this cracker's behind and get and bring it into him on planet Earth. I'm like, man, they ain't have to pick that. They could have picked one of the smooth lines from Mind Your Black Business. No, they didn't go there. They went for the jugular. I mean, they picked the irritated just going in on these devils. And it's all true. But what I'm saying is, I'm thinking with those clips and everything like that, the brothers and sisters that got money and doing well are going to be against me. And I'm going to tell you what shocked me. I said, every time I kept hearing people calling me up, yo, such and such, people I didn't even know, people that's making $120,000, $130,000 a year, are talking to people, I didn't even know these people, talking to people they know me, yo, tell that brother we got his back, we support him. He got a right not to like these crackers, we don't like them either. He's saying what all the rest of us wish we could say. And I'm like, what? And I start trying to figure out why it is that, and it's going to sound a little elitist here, but I'm going to just keep it real. Why it is that a lot of the brothers and sisters from the street in the community, a lot do support, but a lot, it's not as strong as I would have thought. And it's a lot of resistance. Is he an agent? Is he this? I mean, it's some real silly stuff. Like, since when can you go to the internet and find an agent that works for the government to undermine the black community to get his information where he works? It's pretty ridiculous. It's kind of, like, stupid. But, okay, let's just say you could. It's just dumb. So I'm not writing off the fact that, you know, people are not using their full thinking caps because the COINTELPRO got us so shook. But my point being, that's not where the real, like, we got your back. This is people that got stuff to lose. And I'm like, it took a long time for me to figure it out because I was like, I know our people are cowardly and scared. Then it dawned on me. Nah, everybody ain't scared. People don't have an advocate. All of the advocates, the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, the ACLUs, all of the advocates, they realize now, the people that's been doing the work realize these are all enemies of ours. Those who supported Obama realize he's an enemy of ours. And people are looking for advocates. And what happened is, I'm going to keep it real. CNN showed the clip. I'm dressed a certain way. You get that vicious backdrop in the back. And subconsciously, not even consciously, subconsciously, the subconscious mind sees those ancestors and sees the presentation, sees the outfits, sees somebody that's trying to do something right, that stands up, that look like they might be fit for leadership. And in the back of their mind, they going, this is all we got. And they don't know who this is. They listening to what's being said. And they don't like crackers either deep down inside. And they like, I really can't disagree so much with what he's saying. But it's the presentation, brother. It's attractive. What I'm saying is we got something that's attractive. They go to the website, start listening to the music. Ain't no whole bunch of profanity in it. Trying to get all of it out. Working with the artist to get all of the profanity out. Not some of it. Oh, we don't need. If you talking about killing your enemies, you don't need no profanity. If you talking about resurrecting your race, you don't need no profanity. If you talking about building your own economics, you don't need no profanity. Am I saying I don't use profanity? Well, you done heard me curse a bunch tonight more than I usually do. Look, I just got back from the motherland. And so I get back, and you think I shouldn't be using profanity, right? I know, that didn't make sense, but you get the point. Point is, I'm a little rusty, but that's all right. But the point is, you don't hear it in our music no more. And the more music we do, the less you're going to hear it. To the point where it becomes a distant memory that we even use that kind of language at all, because what we're talking about is so hard and so real to the reality we're going through. The young people look at the videos and start seeing everything they know. They watch Mind Cuffs and get blown away, man, because it's relevant to their life. What am I saying? The real new face of Pan-Africanism, what it is going to be and what it is today. The life of the race exists within the context of One Horizon. Look at Lady Shabazz's books. Look at the Conscious Book of ABCs. Who has a book designed for our babies? This revolutionary, simple, nice, clean look, very attractive, something that you would want to read to your own child. Something that you would want on your shelf because of how attractive it is. We are the new face of Pan-Africanism. So when you think Brother Marcus Garvey, when you think Brother Carlos Cooks, when you think Queen Mother Moore's, when you think Queen Mother Moore, think of Sister Queen Nefertari. Now, I'm not saying she's done what Queen Mother Moore has done. Don't get it twisted. I don't know nobody's done what Queen Mother Moore has done. We had the brother come on the program and really break that sister down. But I'm saying that spirit of fight for the race that really cares for our people and will actively wish that every living, waking moment of their life they could be out there working for the race. I want you to consider that. That's what you're seeing in One Horizon. When you think Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, think One Horizon, brothers and sisters. When you think the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, I hate to say it, but you can't even think Nation of Islam today because the Nation of Islam don't represent the most honorable Elijah Muhammad no more. We not Muslims, but when it's the cracker is the devil and our women are our queens and our partners and we should protect our women and children. And when you think Black Panther Party, we should arm ourselves. You got to think One Horizon. We just got to spread and grow and pull a thing together. But the reality of it is, look, we got a radio station. How can you not have a radio station? It's 2013. How can you not have the airwaves? There's the internet. You can reach the whole world. You got to get attractive to our people. You can't be using profanity, lace stuff. How people going to sit down with their children and listen to the message that's supposed to resurrect them? When I was young, I used to listen to radio with Dick Gregory. And yeah, we have a few profanities here and there, but the reality of it is, we don't need 100% clean, not 100%. It's nice when we do have those programs, but you want the child to have a little bit of edge so that they got a little bit of edge. Not that you should use profanity. I'm just saying you want them to be have some exposure is what I'm saying. So we talk about sexuality and the molestation. Yeah, it's hard topics, but they need to get some brace for reality so that they know that the world is not a gravy train. And they know early in their life that they're real things that they have to be consumed with and concerned about. At a young age, I did that, and I can tell you it's healthy, man. So I'm saying, where is that attractiveness where a child can listen and laugh and learn and actually want to hear what's being said over the airway? Our people say, no, the children just don't have that kind of attentiveness. No, you're boring. It's not true. It's not true. When people say our children don't have the same kind of attention span we had when we were young, I'm going to say, yes, they do. We just boring. We're not relevant to the times. In your time, you're boring. In the time of 1950s, a certain presentation would capture everybody. In the 1940s, one would. Well, you're in 2013. You got to know what would capture a person in 2013. They see movies and all this stuff. You got to have some. You got to have some drama with you. You got to have some. You got to be relevant in your time to be attractive to people doing your time. The children have an attentive span, I know, because when I go lecture and there's children in there, they 5 years old, they watch the whole thing, 2.5 hours, they won't move. Because once they see something or hear something that makes them start thinking, they can't turn away. But we're not giving them nothing like that. It's not attractive. Why can't we move our people right now? We are not attractive. We are boring and we've gotten old. I'm telling you, 21st century Pan-Africanism is going to be militant. It's going to be direct because our people have heard so much hip-hop filth and degeneracy. The young people don't want nobody beating around the bush. See, the powers that be, the cracker. You better start changing your language, talking the way the young people, the cracker. Who? The white cracker. And the children like, you being racist. I'm not racist. I hate crackers because they kill our race. Hatred, you're not supposed to hate. Yes, you are. You look at every story of relevance in the history of the world, even your foolish little Bible stories. God hated somebody, so he killed a whole group. You are supposed to hate your enemies. Anybody tell you ain't as foolish? You got to start being real. We have to start having relevance without being degenerates. Our people are degenerate. You don't have to be degenerate to reach them. You don't have to smoke no dope to actually reach our people that smoke dope. You just got to get them to listen and hear you. That's the only thing. But once they hear you, if you talking real, if you talking about how the dope is getting brothers locked up, they go, yeah, that's real. He keeping it real. I mean, he be smoking his dope and saying, yeah, he got a point. My man just doing a bid right now. See, so I feel what the dude's saying. I mean, I still smoke my weed, but I hear what he's saying, though. We really should stop because all it do is end us getting hemmed up. So I feel where he's coming from. You got to be relevant. And I'm telling you right now, you find very few relevant Pan-African groups. Really? The standard of Pan-Africanism in 2013 is Warner Horizon. If you want to see what 21st Pan-Africanism is, I'm telling you, look no further. And it's because we have limited resources and we have a limited purview in our own estimation within this context of this Warner Horizon that the brothers and sisters on the phone and on the other side of my voice, we wonder how much impact we have. And even though we have a tremendous impact, we're not having as much as we want to and we need to, but we have an impact. But, you know, we're trying to figure out where Pan-Africanism is. And I'm going to wrap this up and I'm about to go to the phone line because I want to make my point. The point is, brothers and sisters, there's one place that we're failing. We keep looking for Pan-Africans to unite with. And I'm not saying this to be arrogant. I'm keeping it 100% real. We're making a mistake. We are the Pan-Africans to unite with. Listen to what I'm saying. The fact that we exist and people have access to us, the people who are serious, we are not going to have it doesn't work this way. We think that a movement starts when all the people get excited. No, a few people get together, make the commitment to work together, and they do something. And eventually they break through, and then the people see it as something attractive, and then the people join and support it. Ain't nobody doing nothing. There's nothing for our people to be excited about. We are it. We keep trying to connect with Pan-Africans to build something, not realizing that we the ones that's going to build it. Ain't nobody else coming to build it. That's where the issue is, brothers and sisters. We looking for others to do what we are charged with the responsibility of doing. I hope you hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying is stop looking. I'm not saying stop being open to new people in Pan-Africanism and new brothers and sisters in this work. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying stop looking for somebody else to do what is our job. We've been looking for brothers and sisters to help. You're not getting nothing from Jesse. You're not getting nothing from ACLU. If we're saying, where's the organization that's going to defend the interests of African people? Then that means y'all got to call Irritated Genie up and say, Genie, look, we're willing to give. We got 100 people on staff. Or I got 10 people in my city willing to give $100 religiously per month to an organization. We're going to send it this. You got money. And then when people get shot in our communities, we want organization to come down here and defend our interests. If we want an organization that represents us, we got to pay for it. Ain't nobody going to do it for us. The Negro infrastructure has completely sold out to the point they ain't even pretending to be relevant no more. There's nothing out here for us unless we make it. Which means if we're going to make it, you got to stop looking other places. If you send in money each month to NAACP or Urban League or any of those things, you're making a horrible decision. You should be sending it to Warner Horizon. Because Warner Horizon cares about you. These places don't. They just eating your money and getting fat. What I'm saying is, stop looking for somebody else. If we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. We're going to die. And since we ain't going to die, we got to do it. And Pan-Africanism, you want to see what it looks like and how it's going to be, the construct, the educational piece, what a lecture going to look like, what's going to happen when people come together, what is the music going to sound like, the whole base structure of an independence movement, militancy, killers, educators, family men and women, people who are trying to turn their life around the best way that they can to be the best representation for the people they can be, sophisticated people who can operate in more than one lane. I mean, think about it, man. I'm not trying to, I'm not bragging or nothing, but the irritated did walk through the valley of the shadow of death with these crackers, walk up into their house and start kicking ass in their house. I mean, I kicked so many crackers' asses on my job. I usually don't talk about it. I just got to be real. I just want to get it off my chest. I wish y'all could see how I be kicking these crackers. I kicked these crackers behind so bad at this gig, they left me alone for a couple of years. They just said, we ain't even messing with this dude no more. Some of them did know, some of them didn't. But they just like, we ain't messing with them. It's the coons. The crackers had to get the coons to do it. Because, you know, coons are guard dogs. They just bark. They just going to bite. You know, the only way... You want to get in a dude house that got guard dogs. Everybody, you know, if you a little credit, you know, there's only two ways to get past guard dogs. One, you got to have some tricks up your sleeve. You got to have some meat. Toss the meat over there. They go eat the meat. You get on past them and you good. Or if you ain't got no trick of how to get past them, let them out the gate and go in the wrong direction. They go and then you go in. You ain't got no tricks, then you got to shoot them. Only two ways to get past guard dogs. Guard dogs they're not reasonable. They just guard dogs. You trick them or you bang on them. You pop them. It's the only thing you can do with a guard dog. So these crackers knew they couldn't deal with me. The hats was like, we ain't trying to deal with them. The hats don't do their own work anyway. They do everything through proxy. They get others to fight their battle. So these guard dogs had to do it. My point being, brother, out here the hardest anti-cracker speaker on the planet. Keeping it real. You don't hear no venom like this consistently coming out in a manner that's believable and to actually move you. I mean, I'm going to be honest. The work that we do, we've transformed a lot of good Africans who just love black people into Africans who love black people and hate crackers. Some of y'all on the line is like, yeah, I ain't really hate these crackers before I came to Warner Rise, but I genuinely hate these crackers. Now, you right, bro. Y'all do y'all job on that. I'm we getting it in. On that good old-fashioned, good old hatred for the devil and for the abuse of our race. But at the same time, I'm walking right in his face every day looking at him. Him paying for this work now. Come on, you're sophisticated. I mean, the haters going to hate, but I'm talking to y'all now. You got to show a little bit of love for that. I mean, just walking around these crackers like whatever, smiling, grinning at them, knowing I'm taking them to clean them one day. I'm going to clean their clock all the way. I'm going to wring that neck. They know their neck going to get wrung too. And they still just dealing with it. I'm like, come on, brothers and sisters. You got to appreciate that. That's what we bring to the table with One Horizon. People that got families, but yet putting together music talking about click-clocking the deadly melody. All I see is dead crackers click-clocking the deadly melody. Good stuff that you sit down and say, man, this is really good music, man. But it's also revolutionary and uplifting. Brother, Southpaw talking about, I mean, my offer Sankofa, how to aim. For this war, you need your third eye. No more maladaptiveness. Inside, brother, using words like should be moving surreptitiously and stealth. I had to look the word up. Words so sophisticated, I didn't even know how to find in the dictionary because I couldn't. I had to go to the internet because I didn't know how to find in the dictionary surreptitiously. Syrup is S-Y-R-U. Nah, then I spelled that way. I had to sound it out. I had to sound it out, brothers. I mean, I had to go to the internet to try to find it. And look up the definitions. So then I can come back and say, you know, sometimes you got to move surreptitiously when you're moving through the enemy system. I'm saying that's what we got. Queen Jocera got a sister talking about identity theft. Talking about these crackers stealing our identity. I mean, deep stuff. Smooth. brothers keeping. I ain't even gonna talk about them just dropping bombs, nuclear bombs. And, you know, brother Omawali, Ambassador Omawali say don't get caught. We got some real sophisticated things going on. We are attractive to our people. Now we just got to get to them. Again, last point. I'm going to the phone lines right now. So don't worry, brothers and sisters. I'm coming to you right now. The reality. Stop all of this hunting and searching and trying to find a million different things. What you need is here. The food you need is at One Horizon. Am I saying not to keep informed? No, because that's how we get a lot of our information. Y'all give it to us. But I'm saying you don't got to keep exploring these weirdos, these spaceships, these space disasters, these creepazoids, these degenerates. It's not that hard. We got the formula. Stick right here home. Let's build something right here where we at. And we're going to build something that's going to save our race. That's the bottom line. So with no more further being said, I'm going to go to the phone lines. I'm coming in here. Come on in here. Make your point. I started off. Don't forget, brother, sis, when you come in, praise Nat Turner. Glory to God. And come on and give us what you got. One Horizon is the new Pan-Africanism. What's your opinion on that? Anonymous call, you live on One Horizon.
Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey. Man, it's good to hear you, brother.
Thank you, my sister.
You are on fire. That donation I made?
Yes, ma'am.
And there will be others to come. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. I'm sure you know how much it warms our heart to know that our people are willing to contribute so that we can keep doing this work. We really, really appreciate it, sister.
And I appreciate you, as do the ancestors.
Mm. So what's your opinion now? I'm saying some harsh words that's going to offend some people. Now, I'm saying the face of Pan-Africanism in the 21st century is One Horizon. What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that you are right on point. You have other organizations out here who don't seem to have the capacity or the willingness to understand that they have to change with the time. And it's imperative that it be done. I see it all around me. I have watched respected elders in the community, and I'm in the same community that you're in. And I've looked at them over the years, and I've wondered, is it the ego that keeps them from being able to look around them and seeing that they're losing their support base and they are not meeting the needs of the younger people who will help to keep the movement going? I wonder what precisely might that be. I know Dr. Kress Welsing has said that no black person under the global system of Europsychopathology, also known as racism, white supremacy, or in my words, demonic entities, she has said that no black person under that system as it stands qualifies for being completely sane. So I'm wondering if some of these brilliant people who are out here teaching and have been teaching for years, if they have taught for so long until they're too tired to see that they have to change with the times. It is imperative that it be done. There's no getting around it, because when I go to certain places and I'm looking and they don't have the support. And I support because I will support some organizations because I feel an obligation, but I'm also very, very much aware that they are not going to keep bringing fresh people in. They're not going to keep the movement going. They're not going to even interest the older people if they don't do something different. It's just not going to happen. And you're right. We are moving at a faster pace now. Everyone wants their information here and now. And to stand, rather, for 2 or 3 hours and just talk and and not have a visual presentation, not have something else to go with it, not have the music to go with it, it ain't gonna work. And we see it all around us. And how do we see part of it? It's the level of the genocide that's been amped up to the fact that you got our brothers walking around wanting to get with each other, the females walking around, the sisters walking around wanting to get with each other because somebody hasn't been doing the necessary work 24/7. So, I didn't mean to say all of that. I'm just glad you're back.
Well, thank you so much.
It's very serious. It is beyond serious. We are in triage. We are past the critical point.
And let me ask you a quick question. Did I see you recently? Sister.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Yes. Did I see you recently?
No.
Okay. Okay, so, okay, well, definitely appreciate what you said. I'm glad you said what you said because you see some of the same stuff I've seen. I went to something recently. I was out with a brother, and a brother told us about an event, and we went at Howard. And of course, there were some really great points that was made, but I was just looking around at how it was being done. I was like, we're not going to win like this. We gotta stamp it, amp it up. And I said, okay, I see. We can't keep looking for Pan-Africanism out there. We've got to become those ancestors that we loved from yesterday, we talked so greatly about. We can't point at them. We got to do what they did in a relevant way today to galvanize energy for what we're supposed to be doing.
It has to be taken to the next level. We cannot stay in one place. As African people, we did not. That is not our culture to just stay in one place and not innovate and not be technologically advanced. The people who built Cheddar Marquette, they were technologically advanced, but the people before them may not have been, they weren't doing that at that level. So it is within our culture to move to the next level. We do it with our music, we do it with our poetry, we do it with our dress, everything. So I sit and I wonder about some of the people who are out here, not saying that their messages aren't relevant, not saying that they don't have information to impart, to teach us, and all of that, but you can't keep doing it. You've been doing it this way for 30, 40 years, and you still think it's going to work. No. The younger people, they're just going to roll. And the same thing within, and this is stepping on some toes, within the so-called African-centered spiritual community. Man, I have to shake my head at that. That's some deep stuff. That goes to a whole other level. I don't think I'm prepared to talk about it on the air, but some folks really have got to answer to some serious questions about what the hell they think they're doing.
Well, sister, we appreciate that contribution, and I ain't gonna lie, it always feels good to have a sister's call. We got more and more sisters calling these days, which again tells me this must be really attractive. Anytime we can talk this strong and hard and our sisters are with us, that means that we're doing something right. So we appreciate you, sister. We love you. We definitely see you on the battlefield.
Abibi Fahodie.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's that African family vibe there. 4938, you live on One Horizon. Praise Nat Turner. Glory to God. All right, 4938, going once, going twice. All right. We got an anonymous caller. Praise Nat Turner. Glory to God. All right. 0319, you live on One Horizon. Praise Nat Turner. Glory to God.
Mayotte Hotel, praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey, and all the other spiritually cultivated ancestors, living and passed away.
Yes, sir.
Hotep, brother.
Hotep, my brother.
Oh, man, you're touching on a topic that I've been scrapping with for like 10 years now, and I'm so glad to hear it on the airways. I'm glad to hear somebody pushing it. This is Bilal Sankofa out of Phoenix, Black Oban on Facebook.
Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, brother. Putting in the good work, brother. Good work.
I say, brother, when you say You're talking about the character of how we represent and carry ourselves as, I like to say, you know, like in boxing, you got those that practice. When you talk about boxing, you talk about ring generalship. But I like to talk about field generalship. There is skills and techniques to maneuvering around trying to get brothers and sisters to wake up who's living in, you know, the projects or in the hood, and you, you know, dealing with a certain level of sickness, a certain level of trauma. They have to literally see you as something they can become. You can't lie to them about where we came from. We can't lie to them as though we are all holier than thou now and, you know, super spiritual. I became what I am. It was hell and high water arriving at African-centered consciousness. They have to know this. They have to know that this is a journey. They have to know that I take pride in grooming myself now. I take pride in the way that I carry myself. I take pride in the way that my skin look. When I talk to young brothers and young sisters, I talk to them about grooming, not just your physical body, but your mental body. It's a step-by-step process. We can't play with this. We have to be the lions. I constantly tell my son, I went to pick my son up today at my mother's house, and she told me she went to the mall to get something, and my son and daughter stayed back. So I just turned to my son, and I said, well, why you didn't go with her? And then my mom said, well, the neighbor, the neighbor upstairs, you know, she looks after him. This is some old white lady that my mama just nice to. She don't have a clue. But my son, he knows. So he was trying to be a little lazy. And I asked my son, I said, does the lion ever leave the hyena to look after his child? And, you know, he could say nothing. He's just looking at me. I said, that's your responsibility as a male, as a man, to go out and lead. And lead your grandmother, lead your people. We have to know how that process is. It has to be modeled, brother. And we can't make no excuses for it. So when you say Pan-Africanism doesn't exist anymore as an organization, man, I've been saying that for the longest, because people are cross-dressing. They're cross-dressing as Pan-Africanists.
Damn!
I view it just like, you know, preachers, ministers, pastors, imams. They take this verbiage and then they map to the people with it, because there is sincere brothers and sisters out there trying to figure out how to get back home. And what they run into is, you know, a brother that's been cross-dressing as a Pan-Africanist. He look good. He sound good. He got the verbiage down until the lights go out. Then he's trying to get, you know, he's trying to get his swerve on. And this goes on all day long. As far as the cursing go, Stephen Biko says sometimes a curse word is the only thing that carries a carries the vibration necessary to bring the point home. Now, I'm not saying go out and curse, because I never curse in front of children. I never curse in front of my elders. I never curse in front of anybody unless it's at that moment where I know what vibration needs to be brought home and I need to do like Lauryn Hill say, you know,
use a couple of MF or so these ignorant brothers and sisters hear me. I know what you're talking about.
Right. So when we're talking about this work, I take Baba Baruti as an example. I believe that we have to have elders who, when we are training and developing those in the field, that once they get past that aspect, we have to have some place to pass them to. And we have to have elders who we can pass them on to, who further exemplifies the model of what African warriorship looks like up close in person, so as the popular cliche now goes, so you know that it's real. We can't keep playing around, man. It's a lot of brothers out there that just got the RBG, got the NOI, NGE. They all set tripping just like Crips and Blood, except they banging their little, you know. Man, this is a heavy topic for me, brother. I'm just telling you. You 100% correct on a lot of fronts. It's a lot of us out here. I stopped even... You know, I just do the work, man, and I shine the light on everybody. I shine the mirror on you. I'm not backing up. I'm not moving forward. I'm standing on my circle, not my square, because we Africans, and it's about the circle. It ain't about the square.
Let me ask you.
I stand in my circle, man, and everybody within my circle of influence that I can build with, I bring them into the circle. But to be in this circle, you have to walk this way, talk this way, dress this way, live this way, be this way, and represent, you know, so that others can know that it's real and want to be. Like you,
I want to comment on a couple things you say. You done dropped some heavy bombs. First of all, these trans Pan Africanites, that's the word I'm using. They trans Wait a minute. They're not Pan-African. They trans-African. That's a deep concept, you said. Because I never, and when you say it that way, it really puts it where it is. They culturally dress and look Pan-African, but they still, they not revolutionary. They don't want to tip. They want to go somewhere, get a couple of dollars, say a few cliches that's African, and then leave and do God knows what. They don't want to stand on any real principles. That's not a Pan-Africanist. That's a trans-Africanist. They cross-dressing.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's heavy. But something else you said, and I got to admit to this. On the one hand, I want to have as little as much profanity on the station as possible, only because people listen with their children. But to your point, this is how I know what you're saying has relevance. Brother Baruti, in fact, himself did something. I don't even know if he understands how much impact it has, because I'm not a type to be going through a battle and going to make a big deal out of it. I'm just going to go through it because that's what I do. But this thing has a lot more that I'm going through right now with the government. Has a lot more going on than I'm telling people. I mean, it's real severe. And I'm going to tell you something that he did that, and it was the way he did it that gave me the kind of, it gave me that second win. The first win hit me because all of this whole situation, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it came down on August 21st, which is Nat Turner's insurrection. So I was happy. I was like, I know that that's a sign from the ancestors that means, I say when I die, the only thing that's going to matter to me is that Nat Turner, if he could meet me at the gates and say, son, you done your job, I don't care what else happens. So I know that's going to happen now as long as I keep on this road. But things was getting a little rough, and I'll never forget, Brother Baruti sent something, and there was a picture, and it said, it had this little teeny dude, you couldn't even see him, he was like a little aspect in a valley. And up on the valley, he was walking down this valley, and the valley was humongously high, man. It was like, I never seen nothing like this. And he's walking through the joint, you can barely see him, and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should fear no evil. Then on the bottom part, it said, because I'm the baddest MF-er in this valley.
I think I seen that on his page.
Yeah. What you talking about? Yeah. So somebody sent it to me, and I'm not gonna lie. Literally, the next day, I start cussing these crackers out. I mean, I start going at them because I was like, you know what? I am the baddest MF in this valley. That's real. So it gave me a whole, and I'm not gonna lie. If he'd have said I'm the baddest brother in this valley or something, it wouldn't have had the same impact. It was something about that particularly coming from him, because I know he's not like that. But he said this captures what need to be captured, and when I read it, it like hit me in my spirit. Let me keep it real. I ain't even gonna lie. It wasn't that I cussed them out. I sent an email to these fools and put the picture in it. I'm dead serious. I said, look, I want you to understand. You can do whatever you want because you know who you're dealing with. That's how bold it was. It's like, yeah, this is who I am. What the hell am I worried about? You ain't nothing. And so I'm saying, you're right. Sometimes we do have to go that level. But I really want to thank you for this phone call because you keeping it real. And that trans, are they trans Africans or are they trans Pan Africans? Which one sound better?
I think they transforming trans Africans. That's what they doing. They cross dressing, bro. But the only way we're gonna know if they're cross dressing if we know what the real dress looks like. And if no one is modeling what the real attire looks like, the real mannerisms, the real character, if that's not being modeled, it's easy for us to get fooled. If I could say one last point, brother, and it's not in reference to the cursing, but it is in reference to the cursing. It's not in reference to World on Horizon website, but it is. It's not in reference to the level of professionalism that your website should represent. I agree with all of that, 360%. However, I believe there's different degrees of work, and not all of us are doing the same work. So when we're in an environment where unless you have a certain energy or vibration, you're not going to be effective in that environment. That's not the environment where our warrior scholars are at. Although some of those field warriors may be warrior scholars. However, when you're in that dynamic, you have to operate within that dynamic. That's the point that I think that a lot of us is missing, because even brothers on the corner, they're trying to articulate verbiage that they've memorized and regurgitate that back as though they are that brother. And you don't understand what that brother who wrote those books went through to arrive at that thought. We want to talk about it today, but we're walking something totally different. I think that we have to make a distinction moving forward in reference to you know, where are you in your journey? Are you on floor two, floor three, floor four, or where have you chosen to represent? I choose to represent the bottom. That's my choice because that's where I was bred from, and no one ever came to me. So I made a promise to my ancestors that I would be that man that was never there for me. So I make it a point to do just that, to, you know, deal with how the nation was originally established, the alcoholics, the crackheads, the heroin addicts, the prostitutes, the hoochie mamas. This is where I want to work, Not that I'm not, I can't get down, and I got out of corporate America myself after 20 plus years, and I'm nice at what I do in that regard. However, you know, I can't use my skills no more to help them get better at what they do because I was the best at what I did. So the longer I worked with them, I just was empowering them to be better at being them. And that's why I pulled myself out of corporate America and became so, you know, self-employed. And more as more African understanding comes to me, I try to embody and imbue more of that understanding. But it's a journey, man, and we need to understand that. You can't cut off anything just one day. It has to be growth and development. I believe in training, growth, and development. And I thank you for doing everything that you do and taking that walk and being the baddest MF in your valley.
Hey, look, bro, I just appreciate the phone call. You know, you've been out there putting in that space war work. People don't think that you can't fight on that computer. You can fight on that computer if you know what you're doing. You can transform minds, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing it in the field. So we appreciate you, brother. We love the fact your contribution. We definitely see you on the battlefield.
Ashe.
Coming to the next phone call, I'm going to come to my sister because I know she dropped and came back, but she's been holding a long time, and I need some of that Kenyan African love. I just came back from the continent, and now I need some continental love, so I'm coming to my sister, Atiano. But I do want to say, just remind brothers and sisters, please remember, all we need is $85 to go ahead and have the month of October paid for. And then, of course, next week, I'm going to start jumping on so we can get the $400 for November. And then we'll be asking for the contributions. So it's something I have to do every program because we have to do it now. And believe me, I'm not the brother that likes to ask, but can't do the programs without the money. And the money ain't growing on trees. And the crackers ain't paying no more. So, you know, got to keep reminding brothers and sisters. So go ahead and send in your contribution. It's easier now. You can do it as a donation. Just go to the Warner Horizon website. Go to the second page, the book page, or to the contact page. And go to the bottom. It has a donate button. Donate right there. It'll come to us electronically. We'll get it right away. Or you can send it to the P.O. Box. P.O. Box 54501, Washington, D.C. 20032. That's War on the Horizon, P.O. Box 54, man, I just lost it just that quick. It's on the website, P.O. Box, it's on the website, Washington, D.C. 20032, and support so that we can keep these kind of programs going. Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey, my sister Atiano. How you doing, sister?
Well, I'm excited to hear everybody, but I'm also sorrowful about, you know, what has happened. I know it's been forgotten, but, you know, while the white people were here killing one or two black people, the others were out there plotting to kill us in dozens. And they did it, you know, from the east and the west. They were, while they were blowing up the Kenyan malls, they were out in Nigeria, in the Boko Haram, gunning students to death who were just sleeping. So for me, when people are nice to white people, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can see your own child, your own mother, your own kin being slashed to death, killed in front of your eyes, and you still want to love your enemy. I mean, I don't understand it. It's like we black people have tons and tons of love for everybody, and we don't have it for each other. But let me not say that, because during that tragedy, one thing that happened is Kenyans just came out in droves and gave blood. You know, it's
there's not a lot you can do during those times, but the whole country was just out there pouring their heart out, and it was just, you know, it just brought people together, but in a way that we are tired of being brought together by tragedy, you know?
Mm.
So, just to say, you know, people who take, who have time to be dressing and going after some depraved stuff, and this is happening to our country, and they still want to talk about, it's like they're misrepresenting us. They're trying to make this about sexuality, and it's about preserving the race. So I'm sorry. It's been very hard, but let me get off that for one subject because I don't want to get too emotional. But a few months ago, I think you had asked me a question about the business perspective of War on the Horizon. And yes, the quality, like everybody knows who's listening, is just excellent beyond words. I think it just speaks for itself. But one thing I can say is that knowledge, unfortunately, like the person before me said, you know, people, it's a journey. People don't just come there because, oh, one day I was sitting watching MTV, then I decided to find out what was happening with the black race. Everybody gets here through a journey that is painful, that is long and slow, and just it takes a lot of time to get here. So like you said, people have steps to where they get there. So one other thing I was, you know, it's, I don't know if this is the right time and all that to talk business, but one thing he said that there are people who, they are members, and I think that one thing you can count on is the members of WAR, your listeners, your the subscribers, people who actually value the work that you do and are willing to pay for it. So you say that you don't like to ask, but for me, one thing, and I know this is, you know, white stuff and all that, but at the same time, we have to learn to do it the right way. So you see PBS, you see Harvard, you see all these big institutions. The reasons why they stay, you know, in business, and I do see, you know, the organization as a business for teaching, for learning, for all this stuff. But the reason why they stay is because of the work of their members. Their members give back, and they're not afraid to ask. Harvard has a department just for asking for money, for endorsements, for endowments. Mm. That's what they do. They ask money from the people. They're like, you used our service, you got the name, so give us the money. They're not afraid to ask, and you shouldn't be afraid to ask for money either. Everybody who is listening to this has to go deep and get, just do what they need to do, because we know what this is, and we know that if they try to shut you down, if they try to do something, you know, we are losing much more than just a radio station. We're losing this so much just hearing other people. And for me, I don't like to use the metaphors of the Christians and all that, so, but I don't have anything else to say. This is my church. This is my Monday church. I don't believe in all that nonsense. You know, I'm over all that stuff. But for me, this is where I come to heal, to hear other people. And it's just wonderful. But on the money front, you know, we've talked a lot about the political Pan-Africanism, all that, and that's wonderful. But the one thing that was stopped deep in its tracks was the economic Pan-Africanism, that market, that trading. We can market ideas all day long. We can read Gavi, Nkrumah, all those people. But Africans, when I went back, there was a market for black American products, for people, things from music, culture, all this. And you took your African music, and look how much people loved it. Africans love other Africans from other places. So if we have that, why can't we trade together? Why can't we go and buy things that are really African and not just these Chinese knockoffs that they call Africans and they call fair trade, but really they're underpaying them? And I have so many stories, but I won't start on that. But my one thing, that there are things that we can talk about on the air, but there are things that require deep thinking and sitting down and all that. So if there's any way that, I know this is not the forum for making friends, and this is not what I want to do, but if you want to talk more about, you know, making the website and your information and all that valuable, because I do have some ideas that I think might, you might listen to them and say no, but, you know, if it helps, you know, it helps. So I have some ways of making the things viable and all that. So, all right, I'll stop talking now.
Well, let me do it first. Let me first say, and here's the thing. I did, when I was across in Africa, I did hear about what happened in Kenya. And of course, without any real information, it looks like a false flag operation to me. It looked like a bunch of Israelis trying to get a Christian Muslim war going on in Kenya. But I don't want to say that and not have any real information. If you know of anyone who would be best qualified to discuss what happened and give us the best perspective, or if you yourself understand it, we can do a program about that, because I think that it's worth doing. We see all of this stuff happening on the African continent, and we need to be able to address it. But I don't want to try to address it without any real perspective. So if you find someone who can speak to that, or if you can yourself, you know, let us know so we can pay proper attention to what's happening to our brothers and sisters across seas.
Yes, indeed. I will try to find somebody.
Okay. And then secondly, I think it's worth the program, because I'm going to be honest, where we're strong, we're strong. But one of the places I'm not strong, and you is evidenced by what you said, I'm not good with asking for money or raising money. That's not a strength. I have strengths, I have weaknesses. That's a major weakness, and I think that I kind of hold the organization back because of that weakness. So anything that you could do to help us do that would be great. I think, though, quite frankly, it's 4th and 1. This thing is way behind schedule. I don't think it's a problem talking about it online within the context of just our program. I think we should have a program on what can One Horizon do to financially lift itself up. Because quite frankly, waiting for people to send, even yourself send stuff and talk to people offline, that's great. But, we got a program where we put our minds together. Somebody can tell us what to do. I'm sorry?
I said that would be like a fund drive. You know, we'll be pitching in ideas. We'll be, yes, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who also have things that they might want to contribute. So, yes, I think on that war, on the economic front, on the war front, yes, we do have to address that. So, yes, that would be a wonderful show.
All right, well, what we're going to do is the ideas that you have, hold them. Next week we have a brother that's going to come in and talk about how the corrupt nature of the federal government. He's going to talk about his story, and then he's going to talk about, in general, the corrupt nature of the federal government. He was in there and fought the corruption. And so he's going to talk about this homosexual small hat regime that has completely taken over this particular government and completely runs it from the top down. So the week after that, right now, I want to plan on having 2 weeks from now this program you're talking about, because I think it'll be very valuable, okay?
Yes, that is wonderful. Praise that turn of glory to Gavi.
Please not turn the glory to Gavi, Abibi Fahodie. All right, that's our Kenyan sister coming in here, letting us not be remiss and not mention the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Kenya. 1622, you live on War on the Horizon. Praise not turn the glory to Gavi.
Aibobo Natana, Aibobo Gavi, come on we, Aitila, Haitian sensation.
Aibobo. Yes, sir.
This is Sovereign Haiti Initiative calling to actually keep showing our support for the United Guinea and War on the Horizon. Everything, 3 times that you have said on your show earlier today have truth in it. And anybody who cannot see that we are not at a time to be in cahoot with the enemy, we have to actually stand up and fight like our ancestors, like the Salim Toussaint-Louverture, Mukman Makandal did. That's why we won the revolution in Haiti, because it came a time when we would not play nice anymore. Because keep playing nice doesn't save the day, because that's playing small. You're playing small. Our playing small does not serve the world, does not serve Haiti, does not serve Africa. And I want to say this, a lot of Pan-Africanists out there, I like to believe that I'm a Pan-Africanist too, but I'm a Haitianist first. We utilize this even in methods that we should be following to do the work. We utilize Pan-Africanism as a free fall for all excuses to not adhere by some rules or actually even study our enemy to beat them at their own game. Somebody show up late for something, it's a good divine order, you're on time, my child. Don't worry about it. Even if you want to feel guilty, look, I'm humbling. I want to know that What can I do to make up for my lateness, my tardiness? Because yes, understand the circumstances. Don't worry about it. So we use these methods, and actually they cause us a lot. Because now we don't have the respect or self-respect to say, I said 9 o'clock, I must be there by 9 o'clock. We show up at 11 o'clock, or events are starting late. And a lot of us are eventists. We like to do events and want to hear ourselves speak. Prime example, tell me why I was at a health and wellness festival, and that was supposed to be in honor of Marcus Garvey. We have all these conscious Babas, Rastafaris, Mamas, everybody wants to have all these titles. And we have all our children there galvanizing, running around, just playing around. I understand we should let our children be children and play. But within that curriculum of that activity that day, as our elders wanted to get on the mic and keep shouting and speak to us and keep beating our heads with health and wellness, and which is good, we need that, to eat healthy, to be whole. But there was no curriculum for our children, and they're there. Our children do not get the message as we do. And sometimes we get fed up, and our attention span is very short, that we don't want to have somebody keep shouting, Africa, or eat well, healthy on our ears after a while. We just want to hear some music. But even with that, our children were there. There was no curriculum for them. We were not doing any teaching. We were not passing any radicalism, any message of Pan-Africanism to our children. They were just there. And it was as if capitalism has gotten a new birth at that health and wellness, and because it seemed that it was all about money. There was beautiful black African art. I'm talking about Egyptian crafts, Haitian crafts, black art. But we were not walking around with our children at every tent, even if we could buy. And we said, well, what are we teaching the children these days, or what are they teaching the children these days? We do not take the responsibility to teach our own children, even at a health and wellness event, which should be like a job fair. When you go to a job fair, you leave the job fair with flyers, applications, and a plastic bag from each and every organization or schools that are there at the school fair or job fair. Mm. How could black people are living a health and wellness festival and they did not live with any literatures about the time they spent at that health and wellness? And our children did not know about our African art. They see Babas wearing all dashikis and bobos. Okay, Rastafaris in doing all the red, black, and green, walking with their staffs. Mamas, all these elders want to be called all these nice titles, but they are not passing on the knowledge, the information to our children, especially at those events. They have often not put anything within this curriculum for our youth. And old men, with all respect to our elders, do not win wars or revolution. Mm. It's always the youth who do. World Horizon is a good thing for our people because it's not based on sensationalism or emotion so much. It's the fact that even if we're not going to react every time, but the thing is we have got to have the right dose of message that's keeping alive the warrior spirit in us that they're trying to take away with us by effeminizing us, by emasculating us, by gayifying, almost lesbianizing us, okay? That's making us not want to fight, not even want to protect our women and children. This whole Trayvon Martin thing was the biggest travesty I had to face in my entire time that I've been here in the United States, and that's just one of the popular cases.
Mm.
For example, a mother should always want to live and die for his child, for her child, and a father should always want to live and die for her child. To have a mother saying to the community, don't riot, don't loot, don't set ablaze the European structure.
Mm.
I understand there's political stance we might have to do to feel politically so that you don't hurt your case. But me, I would never ask the community, if the community want to act, or we act even at times, to just let justice prevail. There will never be justice on stolen property or property that was taken by thievery.
Mm.
That's one thing we as African people have not come to understand. The enemy knows what it's done to you. It's done massive, great work to you till this day that we are feeling the impact and sample of enslavement. But yet, our Pan-Africanist brothers and sisters, which we still respect because I consider myself a Pan-Africanist, but we go to meetings, we should have either before the meeting or after the meeting some type of soapbox session because I don't have time anymore to actually hear, with all respect, gripes and moans about his wife. Been. No, we should have a soapbox session after, but when we have to talk about doing work, we let ourselves go off tangent so off the field that we don't end up doing anything constructive and productive at times within those meetings, phone conferences. And it's just you hear people talking about their emotions, their eyes. No, we. No unity and strength. You will not beat the enemy. Liberté ou la mort. If people don't want to live free or die, you are not going to beat the enemy. If you're afraid to live free or die, you are not going to beat them. Because the enemy, that's what he uses against you. He has a firm sense. We are the only one who do not know what we need to come together upon. The European, they can be all kinds of historian. The bad stories, the bad history that they give us, they agree on that. That's what they're going to teach us and our children. We are the only one even who are not willing to teach our stories to our children because we love some whiteism in us. So we are just a bunch of deep and chocolate Europeans.
Well, let me do this. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm listening. I said, thank you, Irritated Genie. When I saw that special on CNN, right there and then, I said, you know what? This brother needs to come to Haiti and get inducted by our ancestors to give you some protection. I said, this brother is being persecuted right now because he's doing work. They're trying to single you out, much as they have done to past leaders. We do not have leaders with all respect. We cojones, be off in Spanish. I have to say the word in Spanish because I know you don't curse on your show. But I was going to say balls. We don't have leaders with balls in order to stand up and be the Macandal, the Bookman, the Jean Jacques Dessalines. And it baffled me that right here in our backyard, that the first black empire, that under the circumstances that it became the black empire, that our black people don't know sometimes where it's at or even who were the key players, the key characters that have revolted and fought imperialism, Europeanism, colonialism, and won.
And let me do this.
It baffles me. Yes,
let me do this. Yeah, I got to move on to the thing, but we definitely, definitely got the point and definitely appreciate everything that you're saying is right on target, bro.
Aibobo,
my brother. Yeah, brother and sister. Some people talk about Haitian revolution and talk about being Haitians, but we got actual blood relatives of some of the freedom fighters from Haiti calling the line, giving that Haitian spirit, and we got to make sure I do go down there so I can get some of that good Haitian juju, get some of that good ancestral protection so that we can make sure that I can keep doing this for a long time. 9073, you live on War on the Horizon. Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey.
Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey.
Abibi Fahodier,
how you doing, sir?
Abibi Fahodier, my brother.
I'm very happy to hear you. You see, the spirit is strong, and the cracker was not successful to crush you. So I'm very happy to hear you, and you're on fire tonight. to confirm what you said about Pan-Africanism is dead, and today, Baba Barwoodi posted something on his wall, and he was a correspondent he had with a sister who confronted the son of our great ancestor Marcus Garvey in a meeting. I don't remember where, but she confronted him about him and asking him if his wife is really a European, and He had to admit it, and in front of the people, and she said it was a treason, and it was rightfully so. It was treason, and she referred to him in the book of his father, in Message to the People, where he talks about race purity, and he went on to try to justify, to say, oh, that's not what his father was talking about, you know, stuff like that, and it's really treason is really everywhere, you know. If you can think, even the son of Marcus Mosiah Garvey is married to a cracker.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because I didn't notice. Are you telling me that Marcus Garvey's son, one of Marcus Garvey's sons, is married to a devil?
Yes, sir. You can go to Baba Barwoodi's page, his Facebook page today, and you're going to see it. He posted it this morning. So I think it's not coincidence that you today talking about Pan-Africanism is dead and that Waldo Wison is on the front line. He's the one representing, and Baba Baoji posted that. I think it's not coincidence. So it's really amazing. So and speaking of Waldo Wison being our best today, I could not agree more. I think Waldo Wison in war, there are stages. So there is a stage where you have the weakest warriors who are gonna fight, but the best fight is reserved for the strongest, you know. So I think Waldo Wison, you and Waldo Wison and Baba Baoji, you really represent those the last warriors we need, because we need strong. Because if you remember, in the Haitian Revolution, Toussaint, although he was a great general, but he didn't have the African spirit. You know, he was still confused in his mind. He still loved Europeans. So, you know, it was just like the Saline who hated the cracker, you know, who was able to do the revolution. So we need our strongest, our best warriors at the end of the war. So after you and Waldo Wison and Baba Baoji represent the spirit, you know, the spirit of war, the spirit of Ogun. That's what we need. So I thank you for what you're doing, and keep on hitting hard on the crackers, and I see you on the battlefield, Bobby.
All right, we see you on the battlefield. Just to make sure, you're a Haitian brother, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
All right, we appreciate you. Keep calling in and bringing that spirit of Bookman with us, brother. Bibi Fahodie. Aye, Bobo.
Aye, Bobo.
Aye, Bobo, man. Look. Some of y'all out there hating, but just because the irritated genie can speak a little Haitian, don't start getting jealous and getting mad with me. You ain't got no Haitian friends. Maybe you ain't no Haitian. That's your fault, not mine. Anonymous call, you live. Praise Nat Turner. Glory to Garvey. Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey. Anonymous, going once, going twice. All right. 2255, you've been hanging in there live. Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey.
I was just listening.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, brother. Appreciate that. We definitely see you on the battlefield. Detroit!
Glory to Garvey, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. I'm in the house. How's Detroit doing? You been taking care of Detroit while I've been gone?
You know what? I should be mad at you right now, because, see, you purposely didn't tell me you were going to go out of the country, because you knew I was going to tell you to bring me back a souvenir.
Oh! You know what? I didn't tell anybody, so everybody had to be mad at me. I had to sneak on out, because I said, I don't want them clocking me like that, so I didn't let anybody know, so don't feel lonely.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't have a whole lot to add. I did hear you talking about the profanity earlier, and I had an experience. I went to this black comic book festival that they had up here in Detroit, and I was looking at a lot of the artwork, and a lot of it wasn't something I was going to get, because either the women were dressed in skin-tight clothing or whatever. So I was passing a lot of it up, because I was looking for something that was going to be child-friendly. And I went to this one brother, and he had a comic book that he had produced. And it looked okay from the cover, and he was like, you know, I wanted to produce this positive comic book for children. And I think the name of it was like Father or Brother or something. And it seemed real cool, so I was like, oh, cool, I was actually going to get you a couple. I started looking through it, and like no more than I turned the page like three times, and it had the F word in it. And it's a comic book for children. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, I mean, we have to definitely try to do, I don't know, we have to combat it. We have to be decent. I mean, I do use profanity sometimes in the comfort of my own home when I'm upset about some cracker or crackerist or Negro or coon. But that's not the kind of thing that we want to model for our children. Anytime you have a cartoon, and it's not just because I'm from Detroit either. Anytime you got a cartoon model for children talking about so-and-so got knocked the F out, that's a real problem. But that's where our mentality is. And nobody is calling anybody on it, and everybody is acting like it's cool. Like our children should not have any standards. Like just because we're somewhat degenerate, our children should be exposed to the same thing. We don't want anything better for them.
Mm.
And it's just amazing to me that that could even happen, that we would even allow that to happen. So I do think the War on the Horizon has a very important role to play in bringing back some decency into this and making it something that we can be proud of, because right now it's really not.
Would you agree that if we look around, quite frankly, and take a look at what's out there, that it would just be fair to say, in general, when you talk in Pan-Africanism and 21st century Pan-Africanism, not what was happening yesterday, because we had brothers and sisters that fought. I mean, we can't compare ourselves to any of our ancestors the way they fought, but I'm saying for the time that we in, the closest thing we can find to relevant Pan-Africanism and the model for it is War on the Horizon. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I mean, that's the only and really, I hesitate to be affiliated with any organizations at all at this point. War on the Horizon is the only organization I would feel comfortable being affiliated with for a number of reasons. There's something wrong with everybody out there. So I would definitely agree with that.
Well, you definitely affiliated. We definitely appreciate your constant commitment and support, always there working hard for the race. We definitely love you, and we'll certainly see you on the battlefield.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's our sister back live in the house with us, doing what she does always, doing what she does best, fight them devils. No question about it. My brother, praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey.
Praise Nat Turner, glory to Garvey, death to white supremacy, brother. How you doing?
Hey, man, now I'm talking to my brother in the South, D-Town in the South. I'm feeling good.
Yes, sir, brother. Just caught the end of the show, but far as what I heard so far, the Kenyan sister and the Haitian brothers, you know, that's that fire that we need coming from across the world.
That's right.
It's time to seize the moment and start building across the continent and make that thing happen. We got a lot of race work to do.
And, you know, you make an excellent point. And matter of fact, because basically the program is, we're saying that War on the Horizon represents 21st century Pan-Africanism, that the old Pan-Africanism of yesterday is, that doesn't work for today, and it essentially is dead. But the face of Pan-Africanism for the 21st century is War on the Horizon. And you just brought up something that I didn't even add in there. There is no Pan-Africanism without Pan-Africanism. You can't just be in a Black America talking about Black American issues and not have an African perspective. And here we have a sister from Kenya calling up, talking about the global extermination of African people in that region. And then we got our Haitian brothers calling up, talking about bringing that Haitian spirit of rebellion and victory into the equation. So we got a kind of fullness of Pan-Africanism represented right here in the context of what we're doing right on the radio tonight. I think the War on the Horizon is 21st century Pan-Africanism. What you think, my brother?
Yes, sir, brother. I definitely agree. You know, right now, you know, when it's wrong, do what the Romans do. Of course, we're using this internet and social networks to get that the mission accomplished. And War on the Horizon is doing it all day, every day. And I appreciate the work, brother.
Hey, bro, we appreciate you appreciating the work, bro. Appreciate you still being out there strong on the battlefield. And we'll definitely see you on the battlefield, soldier.
Yes, sir. That'll never change, brother. I'll see you on the battlefield.
Yes, sir. BB Fahodier, grab heaters with no delay. 3225, you live on War on the Horizon. Going once, going twice. All right, well, this is our last call of the night. 0233, you'll be our last call for this program. Praise Nat Turner, glory to God. 0233, praise Nat Turner, glory to God. Going once, going twice. All right. Well, my brother Kevin was last on the line with the good word. So we're gonna end the night, brothers and sisters. Listen, we want you to start telling them, tell them far and tell them wide. People talking about Pan-African this, Pan-African that. You tell them point blank, look, War on the Horizon is the new face of Pan-Africanism. 21st century Pan-Africanism is War on the Horizon. And, you know, for real, we're not going to be the type of Africans that's going... Matter of fact, I'm going to change it. We're going to be jazz snobbish. Look, I'm serious. I'm going to be honest. We got to be jazz snob. Look, I changed my mind. Right in the middle about saying I'm going to change it. Look, for real. If you're affiliated with War on the Horizon, that one means you've accepted the fact that it's cool to hate crackers. There's no way you could be sitting around listening to this, constantly watching the videos, participating on the radio, helping when, like, the OK program that we saved up in Indianapolis, where we helped save, constantly having brothers and sisters on us talking about what they're facing and the issues, letting them get their word out. You can't be affiliated with this and not be, on some level, becoming intellectually superior to where you were when you didn't have information and the right information. And most of our people don't have right information. So it means that we have an intellectual advantage in terms of having the right information and understanding. That being the case, let's keep it real. We have, and again, it's not an arrogance like we better than the next brother or sister, because they might know how to make money and we don't know how to make that money. So they have the place that they superior and they have the wisdom. So I'm not saying we better than other brothers and sisters, but my point being, I hope y'all understand, I know everybody understands what I'm saying. We gotta have a certain arrogance about us, not egotism, like we better than other brothers and sisters. We don't listen to what they have to say. But if you're affiliated with War on the Horizon, you the 21st century face of Pan-Africanism. If you a Haitianist or a Maroon, you might not think we gotta get rid of all of them, but you understand we gotta fight some of them. You still a Maroon and you still dedicated to this to the end of your life, or if you're just a good civilian. Meaning, the more you learn, the more you do the right stuff with it, that's fine. You may not have a definitive position on what's got to happen with our enemies, but you know you're going to fight them and you know you're going to do what's right. You're still a civilian, and a civilian is just as good. We all play our different roles. But at the end of the day, if you are affected and infected with War on the Horizon information and understanding, then the reality of it is you're in a superior position. You better than the Negro condition. Hence, you gotta start being a little snobbish with what you gotta talk to people. Somebody come to you and say, "Man, look, I'm about this," and start talking about Brother Garvey, and then start going off in some spaceships or something. You gotta, I'm not with that War on the Horizon. You know, we don't really rock with that. You gotta start repping. I'm serious. You gotta start repping. I'm like, nah, I rock with War on the Horizon. I really ain't gonna be going around using the N word like that. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I hate crackers. I don't hate my own people. You feel me? Start putting people on blast a little bit and start leaning on them with the War on the Horizon flag. They asking you, you know, you believe in this and you believe in that. And you be like, no, you sovereign, this, that, and that. You say, nah, I'm down with that. Whoa, you know what I'm saying? I'm rocking War on the Horizon. We got a different way that we do it. Start repping the War on the Horizon flag and seeing yourself in an elite fashion. Not elite like you better than everybody else, but like the information that you're getting and the people that you're talking to, the intellectual circle that you involve with has, in today's climate, a superior understanding. Not that we understand everything and that we can't learn, but we have a superior intellectual understanding of what we're facing and a superior attitude towards our enemies, Arabs, crackers, whoever else is invading African community, Asiatics in our community. We don't like them and we love our people. And we're fighting this war in the best way that we can. We don't like faggots and dykes, and we're not afraid to know that. We don't like small hats. They're not God's chosen people. They God may have chosen to get a foot in their behind, which we're going to put in them. But other than that, they ain't chosen for nothing but death and destruction. So start having a little bit of arrogance with the way you talk to people and lean a little bit on that flag of War on the Horizon with respect. But at the same time, if Christians can go around being arrogant, looking at you if you don't believe in Jesus, then you got to start looking at people if they don't believe in Amen and going, I can sit next to you, my Muslim brother or sister. I can sit next to my Christian brother or sister, but it's a little bit uncomfortable because you don't believe in Amen. But you still believe in an Arab God? You still believe in a cracker God? Well, you ain't got no God? You know, talk to me. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to end it right now, but we want to say this is the birthday of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. His Earth Day, the day he was put on this planet to come here and tell us that the cracker's the devil and that we got to fight him. So we want to end showing some respect and love for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and saying we thank you for this. The new face of Pan-Africanism, brothers and sisters, in the 21st century is War on the Horizon. This is a ship that you don't want to miss. Get apart, join, be a part, rep that Warner Horizon flag, lean in with a little bit of arrogance that you got the good stuff with Warner Horizon. You got the best music. You got the best dialogue. You're a decent African who loves your people and hates your enemies. And we're going to win this battle for our survival. And remember, don't be discouraged when people don't like what you say to them. Because remember, you part of this Warner Horizon family. And you didn't come here to be their friends. You came here to save your race. We love you. And we'll see you on the battlefield. In memory of Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we're going to end this program with the song by our brothers, United Front, Dear White Supremacy. We love you. We'll see you on the battlefield. Warner Horizon. You gotta love it.
Black Power family. I want you to get on this joint and speak from the soul, brother.
Dear white supremacy, you thought that you could finish me. Never. But my elders told me you're my motherfucking enemy. Set down the energy to come at you relentlessly. And I won't give up till there's justice for what you did to me. Crush you like a centipede, blessed with the strength, smarts, and the speed. And the program to end this misery, turn my woman against me. And now she look at me like I don't respect her and can't protect the seed. Ignorant and division is what religion breeds. And my mind is deeper than all the seven seas. So with my nine, I creep up and all you'll ever see is dead crackers. Click-clacking the deadly melody. No childish ways, so my violent ways make me put my life on the line before I die in the cave. Look for truth in the sky, you can lie in the grave. Either die from AIDS or die from a gauge. Either fight for freedom or die as a slave. I'll send you back from which you came because your mind's in the cave. I denounce your Nazism and your Zionist ways. I speak the truth through my words and what I jot on the page. Yeah, this cracker said I was laid off, then he broke out and he played golf. Stress got me plotting, killing Jews like Adolf. White supremacy gave all the black president voting. I was hesitant because he ain't picked to represent. The red, black, green, the colors I bleed. I keep fighting for my seeds for as long as I breathe. I'm supposed to be Mukmin, but I'm all of my deen. Got me taking shots of tequila and rolling up weed. Would you sell your dignity and risk it all for your dreams? I only roll with the strong, the hand of God intervened. Told me we cut from different fabric, others tore from the seams. Giving you food for thought, you get it raw from the king. Essential minerals I'm giving you, no pork or no wings. This is all alkaline, I never rhyme for the bling. Let's go.